Blog Talk Radio.
Lovers, you're tuned into the Danny Love Strong Show, hosted by yours truly, Danny Love Strong. Love Strong Radio is a weekly podcast where I bring you tips, pearls of wisdom, and techniques in regards to how to cultivate and maintain healthy, loving, lasting relationships in every area of your life. So join me each and every week as I introduce you to some amazing and inspiring people who've mastered an area of this energy that we all want and could definitely use more of in our lives, love. The Danny Love Strong Show is sponsored in part by PrettyRemyHair.com, a supplier of celebrity-quality Malaysian, Brazilian, Chinese, Indian, and Peruvian hair, wigs, weaves, and extensions. So get your hair from PrettyRemyHair.com and go on their Facebook page for pricing, sales, and promotions. Join the Facebook group, Strong Lovers, if you'd like to chat with myself or today's guest on the topic of today's show, and let your friends know that they can also tune in today's show by calling into the phone line at 713-955-0743 during tonight's broadcast. Also, go to DannyLoveStrong.com to read my latest blogs, subscribe to my newsletter there, Love Strong Letters, and also subscribe to my YouTube channel so you can view the videos that I've uploaded there as well. So enough about all of that. We have a very important show today, and we have got to dig into this topic. Okay, so I know that a lot of us have been frustrated at one time or another by a relationship with someone who we just could not figure out why we would love them and they just would not love us back the way that we wanted them to. Well, tonight, you'll finally learn one of the reasons why that is. Back by popular demand is the most listened to guest in the history, you guys, of the Danny Love Strong Show. Okay, right here is where we would insert applause if I had that technology. Okay, I need a producer on this show. Author Kevin L. Gantt, the author of Inflection, A Journey of Self-Discovery, is with us again by popular demand. You guys loved him so much. He is here to discuss with us one of the subjects that's covered in his book in Chapter 5, The Broken Glass. And so we're going to talk about why you cannot pour love into a broken glass. I cannot say enough just how powerful this show is going to be tonight. Kevin, are you with us in the studio?
Yes, I am. Danny, thank you for having me back on the show. I've been waiting with anticipation for this opportunity to discuss the broken glass with you and your audience tonight. So I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, I think you can hear in my voice just how excited I am to have you back on the show. The last show that you were on was really, really powerful, and this one right here is very powerful as well. So I don't even want to delay any further. Let's get into this topic, the broken glass. So what exactly is the broken glass? If you'll define that for us, what is it?
Sure. Well, my book talks about Inflection, a spiritual journey, like learning who you are through God's eyes. And in that process, we understand that we are all spiritual vessels, that God created man from the dust of the earth, but man was not alive until he breathed into his nostrils. And that life, that love that God gave us is the essence of who we are. That is our creation. But in being spiritual vessels, we have to be whole to be able to hold that love that God gives us to hold that life that's in us. But during the course of our lives, that journey that we go through, you know, sometimes we go through experiences that are very traumatic and they cause damage to our spirit. And that's when you encounter broken glasses, people who go through those traumatic experiences, but they're not able to heal from them and they're damaged in some way. So some people are totally broken, they're cracked mm-hmm. or chipped, but the end result is that they can't hold that love that God has poured into them.
Mm, okay, so at the start, when we were first formed and God breathed that life, love, energy into us, we were complete brand new vessels, in essence, glasses in our perfection when we were first formed. And as life has gone on and we've had these experiences with other people, these relationships, whether it be mother-father relationships or romantic relationships, we have somehow got cracks in us or shattered. Some of us have actually been broken. Yes. And we're not perfect anymore, so we are broken glasses. Okay, I love that definition, broken vessels, because all of us are a vessel for God to use in his purpose here on earth. Okay, so what are there different types of broken glasses? Because I would think that there would be, you know, like you said, you know, when I think of a broken glass, I think of like a glass that could be in my cabinet. You know, I've got some glasses that have just a chip on the edge. I got some that might have a crack. I got some that just cannot be used. And I have some that you might pour into and it might be dripping. And you're like, oh, I didn't even know this was broken. you know, tell me about the different types of broken glasses.
Well, I try to divide that. I'd initially say, let's look at that in two categories. The most obvious category would be the person that has been the victim of a situation that was very traumatic. So something has happened from beyond their control, someone else caused it, or a life event, and so they're dealing with the repercussions of that incident. So it's the pain, it's the why me, it's the distrust. You know, it's you know, why would God let this happen to me? It damages your faith and your hope. And so that person is pretty much like the victim. You know, and so that's who you think of most of the time when you think of a broken glass. It's the person that's carrying that damage forward, and they've been victimized by something that's beyond their control. So that's what you would traditionally think about. But then, for further discussion, I'd like to introduce the person that sometimes would perpetrate that damage or cause the damage. That person is critical as well, because there are a lot of things associated with causing someone that pain. Initially, you may hurt someone's feelings or cause something to happen to them that's very traumatic, but you may not know the full extent of those repercussions. And so even if you cause it, there's still a delayed reaction, and you're broken in a way, because once you come to own that, which most responsible people do, you look back on your life and you say, well, you know, I think I wronged that person. I didn't treat them the way that they deserved. I was wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we carry guilt forward when we've done things like that, and we mature as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
We look back on our lives and we have that regret. And that's a very heavy burden to carry.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is that there are two types of broken glasses, one of which is obvious to all of us and we've all encountered. It's really easy for us to look outside of self and say, that person got issues. It's real easy to look out. You know, we got eyeballs that look out, and it's really hard for us to really look in a mirror and look at ourselves and see our own brokenness. And you know, we all have brokenness. We are all broken vessels. None of us are in our state of original perfection as infants, because the only time we come into this world without having any damage, because we had no experience yet, is as babies. But what I heard you say, which is very important, is that there's another broken vessel, and that is the person who not only has had experienced hurt done to them, but there's the person who has hurt someone else. and as a result of hurting someone else is carrying around the guilt and the shame, and as a result of that is feeling as though they themselves are undeserving, and the guilt of that's a heavy, heavy burden. That's a big brokenness that you're walking around with.
Sometimes you can look at that as a spirit of unforgiveness. A lot of times it relieves that pressure from that person if the person that they did that to would forgive them. But then you also have to go to God for forgiveness. And what most people don't ever factor in is sometimes you have to consider forgiving yourself. And that's very critical. You can be very hard on yourself, and if you won't forgive yourself, you know, it doesn't make a difference what the person says. You know, hey, I forgive you. I don't hold that over your head anymore. You were young, or it wasn't your fault, and I've moved on.
Right.
But if you don't forgive yourself, that's like carrying like an anchor around your neck for the rest of your life. That that spirit of unforgiveness, and it's very heavy. It has a toll on you.
Well, I think that forgiveness is important for both of these broken glasses, because whether you've been hurt or you've hurt someone else, I think both people at some point hopefully have gotten to a point where I forgive you for hurting me, and the person that has hurt other people, they have also probably been forgiven by the person. But I was in church last Sunday, and the pastor preached on healing, and he was saying a lot of times we've already been forgiven and we have forgiven others, but that there's that guilt and there's that shame and there's that heaviness, that hurt that is still within us, that we need a healing, and that itself comes from God. And we, like you said, we need to seek God for that healing. So, okay, so we've talked about that. So how do you identify a broken glass? We're out here and we're meeting people and we're dating people. Tell us some ways to identify a broken glass when we meet them.
Well, I could give you this example. I have three examples that'll help you to single out a broken glass. First of all, with respect to relationships, you'll notice that the person is somewhat hesitant in making decisions, and that's because they're rethinking what they've been through. You know, they haven't really let that go. They're not free to make those decisions the way that they would like, and they're thinking back the incident and still has an effect on them. So they'll be hesitant and sometimes a little pessimistic. You know how that glass is sometimes half full? Theirs is always half empty. And it's a drought. I mean, there's no rain.
It's half empty because it's broken. Because it's broken and it's dripping.
And they don't have hope. They're broken. And they don't have hope that they're going to be able to hold that love, and you know, because they're still hanging on to the hurt and the pain and the distrust, and they think that all people are like that. So they begin to do that. So that's a sign. They're hesitant. And they're pessimistic. But then the next thing is probably the most important, and it tells about where they are. The second thing that you should look out for is that they will project their past experiences onto the present situation. And the way I like to phrase it is that they project their insecurities. So when you shine a light on that broken glass, on the shadow, you see what their issues are. They project their insecurities. Let's say that you're dating someone, and their last relationship ended up, and they ended up breaking up because of their spouse or mate cheating on them. If you don't really get over that and address it, what you do is project that onto the next person that you're dating. And so you look for the signs that you haven't really addressed it, you haven't healed from it.
Real suspicious,
so you start to,
checking cell phones, checking Facebook, where you
breaking
been.
Breaking into your email account.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have to be very careful about people projecting their insecurities. And that tells you that they haven't let it go and they're still subject to that pain that they went through. Their brokenness. So they project their past brokenness on you. And then a final thing, and this is really telling. A lot of times when they don't heal, they're still suffering from that pain, and they're trying to look for a way to mask it. And so they adopt addictive behaviors. So It may be drinking, you know, it could be alcoholism, it could be a drug habit. Some people have sexual addictions. Some people mm-hmm. have issues with money. They'll go out and do excessive shopping. I'm not trying to call no names. But and then even gambling, you know, what happens with all those things is they're reaching out into the world and they're trying to get a temporary fix, you know, just a little high that makes them feel better, and they don't think about the issues that they're avoiding. Like, I don't want
to
deal with
that. And it may not even
that.
Be something negative like that. Like I was actually, I belong to a small group at my church, and one of the girls was telling me that, you know, she was sharing that she tries to just fill her time with so many things. Like, she belongs to a billion different clubs and a billion different organizations, and she's constantly trying to do a billion things just to fill her time, you know.
Right,
And so it could just be you just trying to fill your time with so many things so that you don't have to face whatever it is that you're supposed to be dealing with.
And that is exactly the point, because if you don't want to go back and deal, if you never go back and deal with your brokenness, then you can't be healed. And so what you do is you reach out into the world and you mask it with something to cover it up, but it's still there. But you're just trying
to cover it up. Right, it's not dealt with.
Right.
Because
and
it is
really
very
helpful.
Painful. It's very painful to go through the process of healing. It could be, and I dare say this, because I have helped people. You know, there have been women that I have helped coach through the process of healing, because I had to go through my own personal process of healing just to get to where I am today, and I'm very proud of the place I am today. I surprise myself all the time of how far I've come in my own personal journey. And it surprises me. But it's almost just as painful to go through the process of healing as it was to be hurt, because you have to heal it. So you have to you almost have a reminder of it. And you know what I mean? It's like,
it's like the process in itself of making a glass. You know, glass is really it's sand, but it has to be heated to a point that it melts down and becomes something else. And it's, I guess, malleable is the word, and you can mold it and shape it, like the people blow the glass and it's shaped into the form, you know, that they need. And so it's hard. It's very difficult to go to that process, because it's almost, you've been through the traumatic event, but in order to really heal. You have to go back through the event, like relive
through
it, deal
the fire.
With the issues, and then go through that fire and be transformed into something else. You're stronger at the end of that process. But a lot of people don't understand that spiritual side of themselves, and they don't see the value in it. So they cover it, they mask it, and they try to keep going forward, but they're never whole again. They're never whole again until they go back to God, healed.
For some reason, and I don't want to cut you off, but it just came to me, this visualization of it. When you think about the Holy Spirit and you think about God, and this is, and for me, God is the only healer, okay? And when you think about God and you think about when you are really truly purified and through the fire, you know what I mean? God is like, you go through that fire, and you think about glass. We're talking about broken glass here, and you think about how glass is made, and glass is from sand, okay? And you think about lava. Lava is the hottest fire there is on earth. And when when it cools, you have those shards of glass. I don't know if you've ever seen the glass, lava glass. If you've ever been to Hawaii or anything like that, that is some beautiful glass, and they make some beautiful things out of it. But it's beautiful but it comes from the hottest melted rock that there is on the earth. And that's what you have to go back through. If you're a broken glass, you got to go back through the fire and be melted back down to nothingness and then made into this beautiful thing again. So,
and the point of all that is that God is the only way to do that. There's nothing in this world
through the fire
that can heal
God.
What God made. You can't, you know, God formed us, made us, poured this life into us, that spirit that is his and that's unique to him. Nothing in this world can repair a broken glass, but the creator himself.
Right. Okay, so how do you deal with the broken glass when you meet them? We've identified them. We know how to identify them. Well, how do you deal with that when you've met one and you're like, okay, I'm dealing with a broken glass?
Well, what I tell you right off the bat, you know, stop pouring into the broken glass. If you acknowledge that the person is broken and you start to see these telltale signs, then the first thing you need to do is stop pouring your resources, your love into that person. And it's not in a bad way, but you need to do that to protect yourself, because what God has given you is precious, and you don't need to pour into that person if it's just spilling over and being wasted. So stop pouring.
Right.
That's the first thing. The second thing, you should try to communicate with the person and talk about that brokenness. You know, bring it to their attention and reach out to them. And I'm saying this not just for the situation of being in love with someone, like a man-woman relationship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe this is a brother, maybe this is a sister or a cousin or a friend, a parent even. And so you want to try to reach out to them and bring this to their attention. Now, and I say this because you're going to go through one of two alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be receptive and take in what you're saying and maybe ask for help. But really you have to redirect them, as we were just saying, back to God to be healed. And all you can do is help them through that process. But they have to make that choice themselves. The second thing is they may just vehemently deny the fact that they're broken at all, and they don't want to address it. And at that point, you have to walk away. We'll use the analogy of swimmers. If someone jumps in the water with a rock tied around his waist and he says, I'm trying to drown, then that person is more likely going to drown. You can't save them. And if that's their choice and they hang on to the denial, they don't want to acknowledge the problem, you can't help that person. And so you have to step back. When they choose to be healed and they go to God with that, then you have an opportunity to help. But if they choose not to be helped, there's nothing that you can do, and that's why you should back away. And then the third step, you know, just respond accordingly. Some people, I've heard women especially say this, some people think that they can change a situation themselves.
Their love is enough. Oh, I can love them
love
out of this.
Super. Yeah, yeah, I can
they
change
just ain't never
man.
Been loved like this before.
This
right.
But let me
they
tell you something.
Never
it's
been
a lie.
Loved.
It's a lie. Right. Let me just break it down for you, Danny. That's a lie. It's not true. You cannot fix what God made. I don't care how good you think your love is. You cannot fix what God made. And so you need to respond accordingly. If they're broken and they want to hang on to that brokenness and they don't allow you the opportunity to help them, if they go back to God, then you need to take a step back. There's nothing that you could do. So don't fool yourself into thinking anything differently, you know.
I agree.
Right. So then there's the other situation is, look, you know, maybe you wanted to love this person like it's a relationship that you're trying to pursue. Maybe you need to help them become whole first before you try to pursue a relationship. So you don't want to walk away from the person. If they say, hey, listen, I have an addiction, if I have a habit, I'm just hurting, I need therapy, you know, help them to get that, because that's our charge anyway as Christians, is to love God and then to love each other and take care of each other. So if they allow you, then you can step in, but you need to maybe kind of keep those things separate. You know, step in, help them, guide them. There are a lot of times when people say, listen, you know, I'm whole again, and I thank this particular person for standing with me through my trials because I needed the help and they stood by me. So, and that's what we're supposed to do.
But I want to make a point there, okay? First, I want to, let me make this point. If that is what you choose to do, if you see that this person, you want to help them and they do need help, and you're saying, I'm going to help them through this, you need to help them through that as a Christian because you want to help them through it, not with the expectation that once they get through that, they're going to be with you. You're helping them through that because you want to see them whole, because you have love for them and you want to see them in their best, you want to see them live their best life. Don't do that because you think that they need to be with you, and then when they do get whole and complete, then you get mad at them like, I helped you through this and you should be with me. That is not what you do out of love. When you are loving someone, you are loving someone without expecting anything in return. You give love expecting nothing in return. That's what genuine love is. So,
yes, that's you talk about that 1 Corinthians 13 love, the whole complete love.
Right,
yes.
Love is let we get we're here. Don't do that with expectation. So, so that I just wanted to put that out there because some people will do that and they'll love thinking that they're supposed to, I love them through this. So now they're going to have to be with. No. I agree with you. You know, step away if you see someone is broken and they're not able to receive the love that you have to give them. All you're going to do is end up frustrating yourself and you're going to deplete what it is that God has given you. And our love is very precious. And the Bible says, do not awaken love before it's time. You should not really truly be loving someone to that degree, to the point where if they're not loving you back in return. You know, it's okay to have admiration and respect and, you're really enjoying someone, but don't be opening up your love for somebody that you're not at that stage where it's a mutual exchange of that energy, because that is damaging to you. And just like a broken glass, if you're holding a broken glass and you're drinking from a broken glass, you will cut yourself, you will hurt yourself. So be careful when you are handling broken glasses.
Go, Danny.
Okay, snap. Okay, so, Kevin, when you were on this show last time, you did not have a chance to recite your poem. And in each of your chapters, you have a poem at the end of your chapter. And normally I ask that you would share a tip of love with the audience, but I would really like for you to recite your poem, Broken Glass, with us, if you could. And we have a little over 3 minutes left in the show, if you would please recite Broken Glass.
I surely will. I have it right here. Here we go, Danny. You ready?
Okay, yes.
All right, here we go, The Broken Glass. In a dimly lit room, a piano plays a tune that unlocks her emotions in the moment they share. So charming is he, but needy, hollow, and empty. She can't see through his plea to be filled with her love, and he takes the proverbial knee. Without you, I can never be complete. Please, promise me your hand, or I'll never again stand to my feet. Caught up in the moment, she submits to his appeal and pours every ounce of her love into him. Images of the couple appear on the wall as shadows, acting out in essence what has transpired between them. Two wine glasses embrace. She is now empty, and he, for the moment, is full. But her love is escaping through cracks hidden by the darkness, wrapping around his stem and descending like a constrictor. They find themselves standing in a puddle of her love, depleted. No spoils for this couple. There are no victors. You can't pour water into a broken glass. Like catching rain in your hand, it too shall soon pass. They say you can't have what you can't hold. That's why broken glasses hold empty souls. The reality is that she remains unaware of his condition. He, on the other hand, is in a state of denial, refusing to acknowledge his brokenness. He passionately seeks to be filled. It is, after all, his life's purpose to be held and sipped from. Driven by vehement denial or ignorant bliss, he chooses to run. The truth, however, is inescapable. He will one day be confronted with light. He will either submit and ask to be healed or accept forever his cracked and broken plight. She must share the blame for standing in a puddle of her own love. Time will escort her to the truth, but her missteps she must own. She was taught to value herself and the love in her heart. To submit that to a God-fearing man, and that they would not in this life part. So simple to a task to shine light on a glass, for the light is always in you. Lean not on your own understanding, or your struggles will continue. You can't pour water into a broken glass. Like catching rain in your hand, it too shall soon pass. They say you can't have what you can't hold. That's why broken glasses hold empty souls. What do you think, Danny?
Snap. I love it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Kevin, for being my special guest tonight. I urge everyone to get on Amazon.com, purchase his book. It is actually it's an amazing book. It's rated 5 stars. You will read it. You will love it. And just check him out and like his Facebook page. Thank you again, Kevin, and we will have you on the show again very soon.
Thank you so much, Dani.
All right. You all, until next time, know that I love you. Mwah. Ciao.